Paul G is back with us. And Paul, can I just say the place feels so light now that you're here.
Well, thank you, Derek. Yeah. Nice to be back. Yeah, I know it's been a few weeks, but at least it hasn't been months.
Have you been under a stone or something?
As good as, yes.
Where have you been? We haven't seen you.
Well, I've been over in the TV building, and then I took a week and a half off last month because, well, let's put it this way, I needed a break, so I just relaxed, or chillaxed, as they tend to say nowadays. That's what I did.
You've kind of gone into the monastery, haven't you?
Kind of, yes.
You're working in religious programmes.
Yes, I am.
Do you have to wear a certain garb over there in religious programmes?
Well, we don't. No, no, no. But the priests obviously do when they come to say their mass on a Sunday morning every couple of weeks.
Is there no priests working in the office? No.
No, there aren't now. No.
You're all lay people, aren't you, so to speak?
All lay people, yes.
And when you start in the morning, do you bless yourself or say a few prayers or what?
I don't need to, because I mean, we have the mass, or the other denominations, you know, they have a service. So they alternate each
week. Every morning?
No, no, every Sunday.
Oh, every Sunday.
Every Sunday, yeah, not every morning, no. Good God, we'd be flat out if we had to do...
I'm wondering, because I know you've worked on the Brendan O'Connor show.
Yeah, Saturday Night Show.
You worked with Paul Daniels in the BBC.
Yeah, you are Mr. Entertainment in my head, and Mr. Eurovision.
Thank you, Brenda. It's nice to be thought of as that.
Are you all right up there in religious programmes? Is that why you needed a week off?
It's closer to
well,
God.
What I was told, that that's where I would be going for the autumn and the winter months. I thought, well, okay, I've worked in the department before for a couple of years, and I thought there's no harm in going back for a bit of spiritual enlightenment.
I know
have said to me, well, actually, Paul, maybe you've gone there to give spiritual enlightenment, but
Paul, I
like to think that I've gone for it.
Yeah, I would come to you and tell you little things on my mind. I think you'd listen. You would. Do you know what it feels like in here with Paul?
Well,
I feel like I'm on a big bouncy castle, happy and jumping up and down.
Get off his lap.
I mean, have you ever been on a bouncy castle, Brenda?
I have, unfortunately.
I haven't.
Paul, you bring a bit of colour into the studio.
Oh, thank you very much. Well,
I think it's your
today,
hair dye. I'm not sure, but anyway,
what hair dye?
You don't
have any hair dye.
I suppose you're going to say that you've restored its natural colour.
Well, that was done some time ago, but it's not dyed.
But what's the difference between restoring your natural hair colour and dyeing your hair?
A big difference from those that, I suppose, have a transplant and those who wear a toupee or a wig, which thankfully
now,
I
90
don't.
Seconds to talk on that subject starting now, Paul. The difference between dyeing your hair and restoring its natural colour. Go.
Go. Well, you go to the hairdresser and he takes a look at your colour, your natural colour. He says, right, OK, so we just need to mix up the colour to... restore on your head. So,
this is going to be mental today.
Yeah, this is not going to last 90 seconds. It's only going to last about 30.
Because you ruined your own argument at the beginning. You go to the hairdresser and he takes a look at your natural colour and he mixes up the dye to restore your natural colour. You dye your hair, it's the same bleeding thing, Bob.
Well, no, there are slight differences. But
Moving on.
Anyway,
listen, we just played a clip of Euphoria because...
Yes, it was this year's winner.
Exactly.
In Baku.
In Azerbaijan.
Yes.
So next year's Eurovision Song Contest is going to be in Malmö.
Malmö, yes indeed. Sweden's third city after Stockholm and Gothenburg. And of course, it's not the first time it has been in Malmö. It was there in 92 when Johnny Logan's successful composition, Why Me, won the contest, beating the UK's Michael Ball into second place. Do you remember Michael Ball being in the contest?
I remember Linda Martin's dress more.
Oh,
for
we
that.
All do.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. But it has to be said, I mean, Johnny, as the winning composer, you know, for him it was the third time because, of course, he'd won it twice before. So this was a hat trick for him. And, of course, Johnny, being the way he is, he wanted to do his acceptance speech, and also he wanted to thank Shay Healy, writer of What's Another Year. I don't know where the relevance of that was, but he just happened to give him a plug. Probably because, of course, Shay wrote his very first winning number.
But it was a great song.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great song.
Fantastic
song. Nobody could dispute that.
Sometimes I watch you passing by my window, and sometimes I watch you passing through my dreams. And sometimes when I look at you, you take my breath away. Sometimes I try and understand your reasons. You choose to feel the way you feel about me. And sometimes when I turn around,
fair play to you, Linda. 1992 in Malmo, Sweden.
Malmo, Sweden, yes.
Now, the Swedes won last year with Euphoria,
year, yep.
So it's going to be held in Sweden next year, and they've chosen Malmo, so they could be lucky for us, actually.
It could be, but there again, here's the other thing. As of yesterday, shock horror.
Oh,
yes.
Shock horror.
I mean, this even took me by surprise, and I thought, well, OK, there's pros and cons for them doing this. But as you know, up until now, the order of appearance at Eurovision has always been decided by a draw.
Hmm.
OK, that was always the case. Next year, it won't be.
Oh, dear.
The producers in Swedish television put it to the EBU reference committee. They said, actually, this time round, they said, we're making a few changes ourselves. Firstly, back to just one presenter.
Good.
Do you remember the last time we had one presenter?
Mary Kennedy.
Spot on, Derek.
Thank
our very own Mary Kennedy in 95 in The Point. Secondly, they're getting rid of all the LED screens, which have dominated the event for the last 12 years or so. OK, so they're all going. So
what are we going to be seeing? Just a set?
Well, they have their own ideas, but they're not going to give anything away just yet.
OK, yeah.
And thirdly, the producers have decided they want to arrange the running order. Now, before anybody starts calling in, what's going to happen
I need to leave the studio. I'm just too upset.
Yeah.
I'm devastated.
The countries, to determine which country is going into which semi-final, they will still conduct a draw for that. And that's happening at the end of January. OK. But after that, the two semi-final running orders and the grand final running orders, the producers in SVT in Stockholm will be deciding the order. Once all the songs are in, they'll have a better idea, because what they want to avoid, which has happened so many times in the past, is you will have six ballads all clubbed together by the luck of the draw.
Mm.
Similarly, you'd have six upbeat numbers there, because if you remember Jedward and Lipstick in 2011 in the final, they were sandwiched between all these upbeat disco numbers.
All right, so they want variety.
They want
in the
variety
semifinals.
And they want to space them out.
Yeah, we tend to favour the ballads, don't we?
Well, we do, because, I mean, all of our winners have been ballads. And don't forget as well, all of our winning songs have been through the jury vote before televoting even came into it.
Mm.
You see, and that makes a difference as well.
But this is a good thing.
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing, because here's the other thing,
Brenda.
Well,
it depends on who goes first, last and second.
No, well, the second is the one that everybody wants to avoid. Nobody wants to go at number two. Song number two in the 57-year history has never won the contest.
Oh, what if they put Ireland song number two in the
semi-final?
Well,
then that's the kiss of death.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Then we booked the trend.
I'm not sure now, because up until 2003, song number four hadn't won either. And then Turkey, who were number four, directly on after Mickey Hart,
Sertab Erener.
That's right. She was the winning performer. She was song number four on the night 9 years ago, directly after Mickey Hart. And she won from the song number four position. We thought, this is a first. Now all that remains is for song number two to actually be successful. Mm-hmm. But so far that hasn't happened.
OK, anyway, okay. There was news from RTE this week.
Yeah, well, yes.
And we're going to meet some of the people later on, but you might just tell us.
Yes, the system is, for the last couple of years, has been with five mentors finding the artists and the songs, singer-songwriter, the songwriters, composers, and the songs of the entries for our National Song Contest, which happens every February. Well, for those of you who don't already know, the five mentors were announced a couple of days ago, and they are...
Yeah, go on.
Firstly, Mairead Farrell. You know, she works on Today FM. She co-presents with Ray Darcy every morning.
Never heard of it. Today FM, never heard of them.
You used to work with him, Derek?
No, I never worked with Ray.
Well,
there's a good mistaken for Ray.
Yeah, that's true. You did, actually. Yes, you were like twin brothers, aren't you?
I don't think he'd like to hear you say that.
So, Mairead, yes, Mairead is mentor number...
The good twin and the evil twin. Which was which?
Secondly...
I didn't say the good fairy and the bad fairy.
Okay. The second mentor, well, I mean, this man is a legend. And you would have seen him on the Saturday Night Show last weekend. Shay Healy.
Good old Shay.
Good old Shay. Writer and composer of What's Another Year?
Okay.
Ireland's winning song 32 years ago now in The Hague, sung by Johnny Logan.
Den Haag.
So Shay, proper order that Shay should be a mentor. I mean, you know, not before time.
Mm.
You know, Shay is going to give it loads, and I mean, he's
maybe we should bring somebody. Maybe Shay will pick somebody who comes out dressed as the girl in the pearl earring.
That remains to be seen, Derek. I mean, we're not going to make any assumptions now.
That's where the painting is.
Next mentor
in the Hague.
The next mentor is a man who had a number one hit in Ireland 12 years ago with a reworking of Michael Cimbello's Maniac.
Not turned Mark it into McCabe,
Maniac
it?
2000. It's Mark McCabe.
Mark McCabe, the DJ.
Yes, the DJ. He's the third mentor. The fourth mentor has Eurovision form for Ireland. He co-wrote our entries in 2009. That was Etc. And 2010, It's For You. Niall Mooney, Galway's finest, Niall Mooney. There you go. So he's the fourth mentor. And then last but certainly not least, music producer and singer-songwriter Stuart O'Connor.
I am thrilled Stuart is a mentor because I know him of old. We were old Billy Barry colleagues together.
Excellent.
And he is phenomenally talented. If I was a person having to go up and sing, I'd want Stuart because I know he'd get the best out of me because he understands stage performance.
Are we
he
not has... supposed to be objective?
Oh, sorry. No, you are. I'm not.
Good. Yeah. Because I'm looking forward to Shay's song.
Well,
I'll be objective about the rest.
What do they
do? Be about
I'll tell you now. This is what's going to happen. So these five mentors, now that they've been appointed, they have a very tough job on their hands because they now have to go out and find an artist or a group, duo, whatever, and they need to find a song to suit them as well. Now, there are people who've actually dropped me a line and said, how can I enter Eurosong next year? Well, the premise is that our entertainment chief or our Eurovision coordinator in the entertainment department, Michael Keeley, will be fielding these particular entries, okay? And he will be in touch with each of the mentors. OK, so he'll allow them to listen to any songs that have been sent in. I mean, they'll be listening to them all. But ultimately, it is the mentor's decision. Their decision is final for their individual songs.
So we can write and send in songs.
Yes. Oh, yes, you can. Yeah.
And then Michael is going to send them on to the mentors. Is he going to decide which mentor gets which song if you send it in?
Well, chances are he'll probably let all five of them listen to each one. I mean, you know, just to make it fair, because, I mean, you know, you can't really...
A bit like The Voice, really.
A bit like The Voice, if
I
you like.
That song. And, no, I want that song. And then,
so this would all have to be decided by the end of the year, because on the 2nd of January, or that week anyway, they will then, the mentors will have made their decisions, and then will be announced. Announcing the singers and songs taking part in the National Song Contest or the Late Late Show Eurosong, to give us his exact name, which Ryan Tubridy will be once again hosting on Friday, the 22nd of February 2013, live from Studio 4.
That's it.
That's it.
And
that's,
in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, that is it.
I'm sure you'll recognise that was Euphoria performed by Swedish singer Loreen, or Lorraine, which
Loreen. Yes.
And you would recognise it as the winner of Eurovision 2012. Now, as you know, we were in Azerbaijan earlier this year for the Eurovision Song Contest with a little help from our friends at the Sunday World. They paid for it. And last year we spent a few days in Dusseldorf for the same event with a little help from our friends at the Sunday World. They paid for it. Anyway, in each concert, Ireland was represented by the dynamic duo with the equally dynamic hairstyles, Jedward, John and Edward Grimes. But next year, 2013, we will have a completely new representative since the two lads have decided not to go with the old mantra, third time lucky. So who will it be? Well, to quote the National Lottery line, it could be you. Because the search for a song and a singer to represent Ireland in Malmö in Sweden in 2013 is officially on. Paul said earlier this week, RT announced details of Eurosong 2013, the competition to select Ireland's Eurovision entry. And Eurosong 2013 will involve five mentors, each seeking a killer song and a killer singer competing to represent Ireland. And two of those mentors are with us now, DJ and music producer, Mark McCabe, as well as ace choreographer Stuart O'Connor. Guys, you're very welcome.
How are you doing? Good afternoon.
Very much. I'm going to start with Mark, if I can, Stuart. Mark, the Eurovision, I would never have put you in the same bed as the Eurovision Song Contest.
No, neither would I.
So why are you doing it?
Why not, you know?
What do you mean, why not? You have to like it, you have to want to win it, that's why.
I do, I mean, I was just asked, you know, am I a Eurovision fan? I mean, everybody knows
they don't have to
Eurovision.
Be a fan.
Everybody
likes fan,
Eurovision, everybody watches it, you know, the vast majority of people watch it. Whether you love it or hate it, it's still, you know, it's a date in the calendar every year that everybody recognises. So for me to be given this opportunity, I couldn't turn it down because I do sit in front of the TV and I watch Eurosong and I say, you know, where are we going? What's this? This is the same old thing. Why can't we try something new? Or, you know, with Jedward, you know, in fairness, it was a good track and they brought it to Eurovision and they've set it up this year that no matter what we do, people are going to be looking at us going, what are we going to do next? You know?
How do you follow Jedward? Yeah, I mean, well, they were so different to everything else that had preceded them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity for me and I'm seeing it as, you know, an opportunity for all those people that kind of think that we may have been doing it wrong in years before, because I'm not necessarily looking for a Eurovision song. I'm looking for a song that we can bring to the competition that, you know...
Well, give us some idea of what you're going to put in. I mean, you had that hit record with Maniac.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose the expectation is that I'm going to do...
Do you have it? Just to remind people, you got the Maniac track you have? Just let's remind people.
You just have it on it.
I don't know how you made, any money out of this joke, I don't know. But anyway, go on. Yeah, I think we get the idea. Right, Mark, who really picked you for this? Seriously. No disrespect. Where's the camp in that?
You know, this is the funny thing, you know, and I stand back from that record and it amazes me because it's just one of those songs that, you know, if you look at it from a music perspective, it's just so bad, it's so awful. Mm. It just sounds so wrong, but yeah, it... You know, it appeals to people.
Well, that's the definition of camp. You know, it's ridiculous to the viewer or the listener, so it'll probably work. Yeah. But is that the kind of style you're going to go for? We're just wondering now.
No, I mean, look, that record is just, I cannot, it just, I'm lost for words with it because it's just blown me away.
There weren't any words in it. Were there any words in it?
There's plenty of words in it.
What are the words you remember? Was that your voice I heard there going,
that's me shouting, yeah.
Something
like that. 13 years ago,
if you go still to the clubs today, that is a floor filler, as they would say. It is a floor filler. It is still as popular today.
I don't
as it was
doubt it, but would it fill the floor in the same way that ABBA's Dancing Queen
it
would?
It must have an appeal. It has an appeal, and you know.
Actually, what are we talking about? Hang on a second. Though, let me retrack. Yeah. Yeah. That's not the song that's going forward.
No.
That's just something you did 13 years ago.
Too old.
Sorry for misleading people. So, but I'm just trying to put it in people's minds, give them some idea. So that's the kind of stuff you produced in the past. And it was a massive hit, in fairness.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it kind of, you know, in a way you can compare it to the Eurovision in the sense that, you know, music doesn't have to be a guy playing a guitar or a band and it being about emotion and sorrow or sadness or, you know, anything. A song can just be about having a good time. And what happens with that record when it's played in clubs is that people just lose themselves in it. And it may seem ridiculous, but that's what happens.
It doesn't seem ridiculous at all. And if you know, a lot of the Euphoria, for example, is a massive hit in clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've spoken to people who didn't even know it won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Mm.
Yeah, it became a massive hit right across Europe, don't forget. Yeah. I mean, it reached number one in at least 15 different countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once it had won, you know, everybody just caught on to it.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe where we've gone wrong in the past with Eurovision is that we've tried too hard to come up with a song that is Eurovision. And it's just ended up being a Eurovision-type song.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, the stuff that's winning, they're not bad songs. When you take them away from the competition, they're not bad songs.
No, they're very good songs. Tell me, have you got anybody in mind? Have you got...
I do, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
who is it?
Oh, I won't tell
I'm
you.
I'm blushing.
Not sure.
So, I mean, are you saying there's no point in sending you as a mentor a song?
Oh, no, there is, absolutely. No, I'm totally up to, you know, I have no decisions made at
would
this
you just
point.
Have, you, is it an artist you have in mind, a song?
I have a couple of producers in mind.
Yeah.
I have a couple of writers in mind, and I have a couple of sort of, you know, talents in mind. But I've no decisions made, and if somebody props up in the next sort of 2 weeks that, you know, goes beyond everything that I've I've thought about so far, you know, it could well be it. So if anybody has anything they want to send me, by all means, please do.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck because you're one of the five mentors. Now, Stuart O'Connor is another one of the mentors. Stuart, you're very welcome to the programme. So do you want to set out your stall? What are you going to do? What are you going to bring that's different to the Eurovision Song Contest?
I suppose at the moment, Derek, I haven't been there last year with Jethro.
As a choreographer, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did all the staging and the famous waterfall and all of that. Oh, yes. So I suppose I've just got the Eurovision bug. You know, I really did. Before that, I would have gone and I would have watched it and kind of watched it with the family. But in fairness to Jethro, when they came back to it the year before last in Dusseldorf, that's the first year I have seen in a long time people sitting around the television waiting on the result, including my own kids, sitting there waiting, and every time Ireland got a score they were cheering and all of that. So I just got that Eurovision bug. So from then, I suppose I am looking to put something a little bit different. But how different can you go? Because ultimately it is still a song contest, you know. And I am looking for a song rather than an act, which is maybe something different that other people haven't done in the previous entries. I'm kind of looking to find a song. I'm searching around. I'm talking to different songwriters, both here and abroad. And when I find the song, because I know within the first 30 seconds if it's the song that I want to put forward, you know, and all each of us can do, including Mark, is do our best. I think it's a great idea to have five people. You have five people going out. We all do our own audition process. So instead of doing one national song contest, you literally have five. And then we're all bringing them together to have the final.
To watch them on telly.
Yeah,
now, how much freedom do you have? And how much money do you have? And what's RTE saying to you?
Say, well,
look, don't like him, actually, because we had a row with him 10 years ago.
No.
So you're not putting him in.
No, absolutely not.
You know, like petty management can be sometimes.
I don't think that's the way at all. We've been given a budget. And we have to, by the 2nd of January, is the very first day that we have to go, this is our act. And at that point, there's no discussion between us and RTE, really. We have to bring our act on the 2nd of January and say, this is the person we want to sing. That's the song and they're the songwriters. That's it. Yeah, that's ultimately it. So, I mean...
Okay, can I ask you, did you have a favourite Eurovision song over the years?
Well, listen, we all went last year and when the second, I don't know about you, Paul, but the second we heard Euphoria, I went... That's a winner.
You switched off the water on Jethro, did you?
No. But listen, we always knew, I mean, in fairness to the lads, we always knew that Euphoria was the song to beat.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it absolutely was. So that has just been fantastic. The year, about 2 years before that, the fellas with the fiddles.
Oh, yeah, Alexander Rybak.
2009.
And again, that was a foregone conclusion as well. I mean, it was really no point in, you know, the bookies as well had set the odds very low for both Fairy Tale and Euphoria.
It was a very different song, actually, Fairy Tale. Alexander wrote that himself.
About a past love affair, but I mean, you know, he put pen to paper, and of course, he's as you remember, he was a talented musician, just so different because it wasn't exactly in a Norwegian style. You know,
he's from Belarus originally.
But the Melody Grand Prix, which is what they have in Norway, a bit like the Swedish Melody Festival, and they have it in like rounds of semi-finals on televised. I'm talking about, so it lasts 6 weeks. So I mean, he won the semi-final and then went through to the.
I just asked him what song he liked. We can talk down to detail.
I know we said about the song, but the other point is that it is about. I mean, it is a song contest, but the other thing is, it is about the staging and about the look of it and all of that. Again,
nowadays,
going back to Doreen, it was just very simple. The choreography was fantastic. Even the lighting. If you looked at the way that was shot, even on the camera, it was a different feel. The end with the slow motion.
So you see, you're coming with your producer's hat on
then. Well, that's it. And even with the two fiddles, that was slightly different. So I know it's a song contest, but obviously, you know, the staging is a big thing of what I do. So
also,
I will be looking at that.
Also, less is more as well.
Mark, I never asked you, did you have a favourite Eurovision song?
Euphoria.
I don't pick Euphoria.
You know?
You just pick another one.
It's kind of there.
Was it Ding a Dong? Come on, Mark. Lose all credit.
It doesn't have to be a winner, though.
I think Mark would have a totally fresh approach, which is exciting.
Actually, do you know what? The listening to the two of you and the contrast, I can feel the contrast. I think it'll make the competition much more interesting. And then we'll see what Shay brings in and what Mairead brings in. And then.
Niall Mooney.
Niall Mooney. Of course, yeah. He was a songwriter. So yes. We'll see.
He wrote two of ours in the last few years.
Well, guys, all I can say is the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
You want to say something? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think last year, for me, it's a good year to be involved because I feel that track kind of brought Eurovision that little bit step closer to what actually is going on mainstream in terms of what's happening, chart-wise or pop music-wise. And just the whole game has been ramped up. The production on the Eurovision now is just phenomenal. And I think if we did win it, we would have a big job trying to match the kind of production.
But you know what, on that point,
though,
having said that, if we do win it, I think it's nearly at the stage now where it needs to be scaled down slightly.
Well, this is what the Swedes are doing now. I mean, they are actually scaling it down.
Okay, that's good.
Like I say, one presenter, I don't know if you heard me saying that earlier, because in the last couple of years they've had three presenters, and you don't need three presenters for a gig like that.
No, you don't.
I mean, two, fair enough, but one, you see, did the job for years and years and years.
Get on with it and get off.
Let me finish, Derek, please. Then losing the LED screen, just back to a basic set. But again, they're not going to.
But the other thing is, Derek, it's still huge. If you look at the viewers for last year, I know people slag Eurovision and they go, "Oh, Eurovision, this, that."
But
the viewership is huge.
Everybody's a Eurosexual.
They all watch, Paul G will
tell you that they're all in the closet when it comes to the Eurovision Song Contest. Because if they're not, how do you explain that the second biggest television audience of the year is the late Eurosong final on RT television? Yeah. So you come out of somewhere. You must have been somewhere, and then you watch the telly programme, is the second biggest highest rating in the country. So they're watching it regardless. And then when the Eurovision was on, 1.5 million it peaked out in Ireland to see Jedward. People are watching it.
So they'll see me and Mark with fisticuffs, we'll be out against each other.
I made a documentary about this 40 years ago and we spoke to people who would normally a lifelong devotee of Rory Gallagher, remember, Dave McHugh used to work in here and he admitted that Walking the Streets in the Rain was his all-time favourite Eurovision Song Contest. Yeah. You couldn't have found two different styles and genres. And there was that guy admitting that. So there you go. Everybody likes a bit of Eurovision.
Great. Excellent.
Sounds a bit familiar. Was there a song called A Bit of Eurovision or a telly programme called A Bit of Eurovision or something?
A Little Bit Eurovision. Yes.
Paul, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jerry.
Hang on, because you're going to be interested in the next item. Stuart, best of luck.
Thank you very
much. Mark, best of luck. Best of luck to Niall. Best of luck to Shea. And best of luck to Mairead. They will be the five mentors. I suppose you can contact RTE if you want to submit a song and then it'll be distributed out. And then after that, it's in the guys' hands. And then eventually it'll be, I suppose, a jury and a public vote.
It will be 50-50. Regional juries and the televote will obviously be the other 50% as well, as in the last couple of years.
As it should be too. So guys, thank you very much indeed.